Welcome to the WWE podcast with Aid Willis, bringing you a brand new weekly episode talking everything wrestling. And how am I going to do that?
I'm going to do it with the three most destructive letters in sports entertainment.
A-I-D.
So here we are again, listening to Aid Willis on the WWE podcast. Hope everyone enjoyed the Rumble. Hope you enjoyed Raw, SmackDown, NXT, whatever your preference is. And a big thank you to everyone that tuned into my first episode. If this is your first time listening to me, welcome. I'm sure the people that did listen to me last week heard all my predictions. Some came true, some really didn't. Just a little one, Edge returning. Just a small one that I got wrong. I said he wouldn't. Said he was only going to be backstage supporting Beth Phoenix. Only a small one I got wrong. But hey ho, no, of course. Everyone's so excited as soon as his music hit. Wow, what a pop. What an entrance. What a moment to see him back in the ring. I love the little feuds they might be bringing with AJ Styles. Obviously, we've seen on Raw now that he's probably going to have a feud with Randy Orton. They even teased a rated RKO comeback, which I'm sure will happen down the line if Edge stays around. My biggest gripe, which is pretty much what I said in the last week's episode, is I'm worried that he's going to get injured. And if you've seen the news, and as you know, I'm going to bring you the news, going to bring you the current rumours, Edge got rushed to hospital after Raw, which is just worrying, really. I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's going to continue and everything like that. I'm sure it was just a checkup. However, it is just worrying, especially considering all the past, the fact he had to retire. It's an injury. It's a big injury, you know. But anyway, that's just a bit of a negative. But what a return. Royal Rumble was absolutely brilliant, I thought. The Women's Royal Rumble was fantastic. Reigns and Corbin was absolutely the match of the night for me. I loved it. I loved the fact that Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode got involved. Usos got involved. It was really, really good. The only thing with the Women's Royal Rumble, I'm sure everyone can see it as well. I'm sure I'm not the only one. It's a great match. It had plenty of returns, plenty of debuts from the NXT stars. But they are a little bit too small to go over the top rope. Now, there isn't really anything you can do about it. They are just a little bit too small, which is natural. It's a Women's Royal Rumble. But apart from that, everything was really, really good, I thought. Becky and Asuka had a fantastic match. I'm glad Kairi Sane didn't get involved. Obviously, Charlotte won the Women's Royal Rumble. I wanted it to be Shayna. I think everyone thought it was going to be Shayna. Charlotte winning and having another title match at WrestleMania seems a little bit odd, but she's one of the best stars they've got. I'm hoping it's not her versus Becky. As she said, she's going to drag it out a bit. That was always going to happen, claiming she hasn't made up her mind yet. But then Asuka comes out, wants a match with Charlotte. They have a match. That was a fantastic match again. Lots of chemistry. I thought they had a great bond in the ring. But yet again, if you listen to last week's podcast, you'll understand why. Get a little bit frustrated. Asuka comes out, tries speaking English. You've got to admire the effort, but her pronunciation isn't very good. And then she goes on to speak whatever her native language is. I'm not actually aware of the native language. But everything about the act with Kairi Sane, everything about it, I love. But she needs a manager. She really needs a manager. Or just don't pick up the mic. You can do enough with the facial expressions, with the outfits, with the entrance. You don't really need to get on the mic. That would be the only improvement for me, I think. I don't know how everyone else feels about that. I know Matt's touched on it in his podcast that she really does need to learn English. It might be harder than I think. Or maybe I'm just being a little bit too critical. But anyway, moving on to the Men's Royal Rumble. I actually predicted that Brock would have some sort of match where he was just eliminating people, and that seemed to happen. Keith Lee came out. Yes. I love the fact, actually, going back, that Bobby Lashley and Rusev claimed to have a brawl before the match. So that was all backstage, so they didn't enter the ring. So that was two spaces onto the Royal Rumble. They'd already confirmed 27, so only left three. And I thought Cain Velasquez was pretty much a dead certainty. Clearly not. But anyway, the extra two made it five surprises, which was good because we had Keith Lee, we had MVP, we had obviously Edge, we had Matt Riddle, which was good. I didn't expect to see him. I was happy to see him. I love his little flick of his sliders or flip flops, whatever you want to call them. Do you know what was a disappointment though? You had the Keith Lee square up with Brock. You had Keith Lee against Braun Strowman. You had Brock Lesnar against Braun Strowman. Obviously, Brock Lesnar was doing really well in the match. That was always going to happen. Now, Kofi Kingston was the first one that really had a chance, I suppose, because of their previous encounters. Now, obviously, the crowd really got behind that as well. When Big E came out, I thought that was going to be a big square off. Like, Big E's a big guy. The whole point of having these big square offs in the middle of the Rumble are between the big, big guys. They didn't really capitalise on that. They seemed to get him eliminated quite quick. And then it was just as if he hadn't really been there, when I thought they could have done an angle, maybe even Keith Lee with Big E, or what I've said before, with the big, big people, Braun Strowman and Big E, Brock Lesnar and Big E, or whatever way round they wanted to do it. I thought Big E was one of them people that they didn't really give him much in the match. And before I speak about the winner, because if you've listened to last week, you'll listen to my prediction. And guess who was right on his first episode? Yes, yes, yes. And not only am I from the UK, Drew McIntyre's from the UK. But obviously we had The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan. Now I'm going to touch on that a bit later, because I've got a slight prediction or a slight idea of the weakness of The Fiend. Now I saw something, I don't know if anybody else has, but anyway, I'll touch on it a bit later. So going back to Drew McIntyre winning, I loved it. Of course I was going to love it. I wanted him to win. He was my prediction. I really didn't want Roman Reigns to win, even though he had a great, great match with Corbin. I want him to have another feud with someone else. But who I want that to be, really, I don't really know. But Drew McIntyre eliminating Brock was brilliant. The big stare downs after each elimination. And obviously he's come out on Monday Night Raw with the Brock announcement that they're going to face each other at WrestleMania. He's one of them people that can hold his own. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He's great in the ring. He's good on the mic. So apart from the 3-2-1 thing, that he needs a tagline. He needs something like the old Seth Rollins with the burn it down, rather than counting down from 3-2-1. But I'm sure that will come. He's definitely a superstar that can match it with Brock. I definitely feel like that is a great option for WWE. So they've done well there. Again, one of the biggest gripes that I've said in my previous episode, in the Rumble, he took a spear from Edge and he took an RKO from Randy. He cannot sell moves. He cannot sell the big moves. Granted, he took an F5 from Brock on Monday Night Raw. That was okay. I don't really see how you can't sell an F5. You simply get thrown up in the air and you land. But the spear didn't look good. He just sort of fell over. And the RKO, he seems to land on his knees all the time, which that needs sorting out. But I can't wait to see him at Mania. I think it's going to be a big, big build-up. It's going to be good. And ultimately, I think he deserves it. So going back to Monday Night Raw, we saw not really a change of character, but a change of, I'd say, persona in a way, with the Aleister Black change, that saying he's going to go after people rather than getting people to knock on his silly door and get people to pick a fight with him. That is simply because the whole door gimmick didn't really take off, so they're going to try a different angle, which hopefully will work. Hopefully it just gives him a feud with someone, a solid feud, a solid matchup that they can really build on and have a promo. Even with someone like Eric Rowan, he needs someone that can match him. They could probably have a few good matches. And then it gets him away from all these squash matches, which, yeah, they're okay at building characters, but it comes a time where you just see that week after week, it gets a little bit boring because ultimately you know who's going to win unless someone comes out and attacks them, which that it doesn't happen. Alistair Black could maybe attend to the little cage thing that Rowan comes about with. I think that would be a good angle. They're both sort of dark characters. I don't necessarily think that will happen, but I mean, we will see. And one of the interesting things that I saw, and as you know, all about the news. So Andrade has apparently been tested for some sort of substance. What substance that is, I don't actually know. But there's rumours of him being banned for 30 days. Now, I don't know if they knew that before Raw, or they obviously found out maybe on the day of Raw or something. But the whole Hammerlock DDT onto the flooring underneath the mat outside the ring from Humberto Carrillo, well, does that tie in with a sort of fake injury type angle to keep him away from the ring for a little bit while he's serving his suspension? I mean, as soon as I saw it, I'd already read the story, I'd already read the article. As soon as I saw that, that was my immediate thought, that WWE have played that angle, and that's obviously what they've used in the past as well when WWE superstars have got suspended as well, or have private issues outside of the company that they need to sort out, like any legal situations. There was a similar one with Jeff Hardy a while ago. I mean, this is going back a long, long time. But anyway, something like that. And we had the AOP get attacked by the Viking Raiders. I thought that was quite a good build. At least it gives the AOP a purpose. At least they have some sort of meaning to be there away from just the Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy bit. The faction's good, but obviously with the tag team titles on Rollins and Buddy Murphy, they've got their own little thing with Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe, and they beat them, and that was a good match. That will probably carry on for a little bit until someone turns on someone or they get someone else involved. But obviously 2-on-2, the AOP needed that little something. Didn't really want it to be Viking Raiders. Don't really like the gimmick, if I'm honest. They're great in ring, but the whole Viking thing, the whole medieval type promos, in ring gear, all of that stuff, the whole imagery, I don't really like. But anyway, the Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe, they teased a little, not feud, I wouldn't say, but they attacked each other at the Rumble. That was good. I mean, Kevin Owens is obviously a massive babyface at the moment, so there wasn't too much into it. You could see on his face, he sort of smirked, and then that was it. He was sort of like, okay, we're here now. Every man for himself. They did a little thing, and then they moved on, which was good. I can't see them winning the titles. But then I also said in my last podcast, I'm sure, that I didn't think that Rollins and Buddy Murphy would hold the tag team titles for long. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. Hopefully I get a prediction right. Hopefully there's not two more that I get wrong. Obviously some of the predictions, like Jinder Mahal coming back, I was certain on that one. I was talking to my girlfriend about that. Every time there was a countdown, I was saying, yeah, it's going to be one of my guys. No, no, more no's. And then all of a sudden Edge came out. I was like, oh. Well, of course, I was actually like, yeah. But I was like, oh no, my podcast. I said he weren't going to come back. What's everyone going to be thinking? But anyway, McIntyre won, of course. So I hope you like my ideas. And of course, I'll keep bringing you them. A quick touch on SmackDown. Started off with Roman Reigns doing some promo that actually looked like he forgot his words. Baron Corbin came out. It's annoying. I know we don't want to see it anymore. He was accompanied with Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. The Bloodline was in the ring, being Roman Reigns and the Usos. That led to a match a bit later on. It was a good match. I like the Usos in the ring. I wasn't very excited with it, and I felt it was very predictable. I'm praying this is the last we see of that feud. Baron Corbin can go somewhere else. Roman Reigns needs someone else. Hopefully the Usos gets back in the tag team picture. I'm not really sure how it happened because we had a fatal four-way tag team match. John Morrison and The Miz won, leading to a New Day matchup for the titles. That was a good match. There was quite a few clear botches that happened in it. But the Lucha House Party always bring a lot of energy. There was a lot of enthusiasm. Their in-ring ability is second to none. Some of the flips, some of the jumps over the top rope, really, really good. It's different because no one else really does that. I know Ricochet tends to do that, but he isn't that popular. Where Lucha House Party aren't popular, but that sort of works in their favour because you can sort of get behind them in a different way. You sort of know what you're getting with them. You're not expecting them to win. You just enjoy the moment. The Revival always put on a good matchup. I like the punches. I like the old school style of brawling. Otis and Tucker, what can I say about them? I like the angle with Mandy Rose. I find it quite funny. Otis is good. Tucker sort of lets the team down, I think. I'm hoping the angle doesn't last too long. I don't really like the whole play on how thick he is, how stupid he is. I'd rather him talk normally and I'd rather him get some sort of personality behind it rather than just being this sidekick to Tucker that's actually got almost like problems in a way, which I don't really think is fair on his character. We had a tag team match, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. It was a steady match, wasn't too good. Again, as I've said in my Women's Royal Rumble sort of review, I just find some of them a little bit too small, and obviously Nikki Cross is one of them. The way she jumps off the ropes, she can't get enough leverage, so instead of landing a cross body where you should and it be smooth, she seems to almost land on their knees and then there's a big tumble. If you haven't noticed it, I'm sure you'll notice it every single time now. But it's a good match. I like Nikki Cross. They should be doing something more with the Alexa Bliss angle. I thought they'd turn. I don't really know why they're still together at this point. Hopefully Alexa Bliss gets back in the title picture. I really, really like her. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, they've gone a bit stale for me. I don't really know where they're going for it. Unless they're just going to keep them mid-card. Who knows? Now, finally, Braun Strowman won the Intercontinental Championship. His first title. Really, really pleased for him. It was a good match. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Braun Strowman. Cesaro and Sami Zayn on the outside. It was a good match. I liked the little angle with the top rope turnbuckle coming off. I like Sami Zayn as the manager. I like him outside. As Matt has touched on, and some of the other co-hosts in their podcast saying that they like the way Zelina Vega is very animated. She sort of tells the story throughout the match of Andrade's matches. I feel like Sami Zayn does exactly the same. Yes, of course, he's a lot more theatrical, but ultimately you can tell what's happening just by watching him. You wouldn't actually need to watch the match to know who's on top, what's happening, what's going to happen, everything like that, which is good. I don't like Cesaro. I never have been a fan of him. Don't like him in the ring, don't like him out the ring. So that for me is a big negative. I like the fact they got straight into sort of an Elias thing after. That means they've left Braun Strowman to maybe have a match with someone else, a feud with someone else. Someone will obviously want his title. That's understandable. And straight into an Elias thing, that makes more sense. Hopefully now Sheamus has beaten Shorty G. Let's scrap that straight away. Chad Gable. Hopefully now Sheamus has beaten him. He might have an angle with Elias, but it looks like he's going to have some sort of thing with Sami Zayn's little faction. Maybe even Elias will come in and help that, because obviously at the moment it would be 3-1 if that does happen. We had Bayley do some sort of promo. Now, I don't know if it's Ashley or it's Mary. I've heard one of them say that Sasha Banks and Bayley should have swapped roles, being that Sasha Banks should be the champion and Bayley be the sidekick, because of almost the in-ring and the crowd's reaction and the relatability, the popularity of Sasha Banks, and ultimately on the mic as well. Well, I agree with that, and I'll touch on that in my new part of the podcast a little bit later. Now, Naomi came out, which is good. I'm glad she's back. Everyone was glad she's back when she came back in the Royal Rumble. Now, I don't know if anyone has mentioned it, but please can we talk about when Naomi jumped off the ring apron at the Royal Rumble, it might have been the steps, and then landed on the barricade separating the fans and the in-ring, that sort of area. Now, I don't know if anyone else thought that, but I thought she was going to fall off. There was a time where she looked like she was slipping, and as soon as her 2 feet would touch the floor, she'd be technically out. Now, she didn't. She waited there for a bit and managed to pull herself up. Now, that was impressive, and it shocked me, and was exciting, and actually left me a little bit speechless, because I know she's known for doing the whole Kofi Kingston and John Morrison type. I know they didn't really have one in this Royal Rumble, but the usual, how they do handstands, or they land on the steps, or on the outside barricade, or get caught like Mandy Rose did in the Otis angle. Now, Naomi, watch it back. You'll see what I mean. You'll understand what I'm saying. And if you didn't notice it, then I'm sure you'll be extremely, extremely impressed. Well, anyway, back to SmackDown. She came out. That will obviously lead to a feud. Really, really excited for that one. I'm glad she's back. I'm glad she's fit. I'm glad she's sorted out all the issues in her personal life, or whatever kept her away. I don't believe it was an injury. So we'll see how that one pans out. And ultimately, I'm hoping she will win the title. I don't like Bayley as a champion. I think if Naomi won, it gives an opportunity for maybe Lacey Evans to come back in the picture, even Alexa Bliss to have another run, even against Sasha Banks. Naomi versus Sasha Banks would be a great match. So let's hope that one comes true sooner rather than later, hopefully. Now, as I said I would, I'd go back to The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble. It was a strap match. As I said in the other podcast, there was a few alternatives what it could have been. It could have been the four corner rule, which is normally that bell match, but I couldn't quite remember what that was called. But good, it was pinfall. Thank God there was no red light. We could actually see what was going on. There's no need for it. Hopefully they stay away from that now. I actually thought Bray Wyatt looked slimmer. I don't know if everyone else did. I don't know if that was just because we could actually see the outfit properly and see the actual stitching on his black vest or black jumpsuit that he wears, because sometimes in the red light you can't really see the actual stitching. It looks more like sweat. And then obviously seeing the hand stitching that he has on the front just makes it easier in normal light. I thought that was much better. I really liked the match. The only problem was that, well, I wouldn't say it was a problem. It's just, maybe it's just me, but a bit like when watching Edge, and as I noted earlier about his injury, that I'm always going to be a little bit on edge that he's going to get injured again. The belt slaps, when The Fiend was picking up the strap and slapping Daniel Bryan, you can tell their moves genuinely hurt. There's no kayfabe, there's no, oh, it's fake. Any neutral watching it, any casual wrestling fan, you can see the bruises, you can see the pain, you can see everything about it. Now, they look like they absolutely kill. I mean, the marks they left behind on Daniel Bryan's back was absolutely awful. I know it's all part of the game, I know it's all part of the wrestling match, but I don't really like it, if I'm honest. Although I loved the match and I wouldn't actually take it away. It's sort of one of them things that you love to hate, or you hate to love, whatever way round. There were moments in the match that were almost Undertaker-esque, the way he would take a beating and then be laying there. You think Bryan was going to get the upper hand, and then he'd get back to his feet and call on more. That reminded me a lot of the way Kane and Undertaker do their sit-ups during matches. Now, not actual sit-ups, but when they're taking a beating, they'll be laying on the floor, and then they obviously rise up. That was quite good. I like the fact they added that. That I know they've had that in the past with some matches, but I felt he does it too quick. They seem to, when he was taking the beatings in the past, he would get up straight away and there'd be no delay, there'd be no pause for effect, where this time you could tell that Brian had actually hurt him, which makes it a little bit more believable. And then he rose to his feet and called on Moore. And then you can see the reaction on Brian's face. I felt it sold the story. That was good. Now, as promised, I'm going to talk about my conspiracy theory on the Fiend's weakness. Now, as we all know, as we've all seen, the Fiend listens to his hands with the gloves on, the hurt and heal. He tends to listen to hurt more, whether he's just because he's right-handed or because it says hurt. But there's clearly something that he's doing that has some sort of effect on his performance. Now, I've done a little research, I also remember it. Back in 2015, he done a video, it's on YouTube. It's of the Superstar Horror Stories, or Ghost Stories, I think it was called. It was Bray Wyatt in the woods talking about the man in the woods. Now, he went on to talk about how Sister Abigail said that the man in the woods was actually him. And that's come true. He's actually the Fiend. He described the man in the woods to have long blonde hair, which he has. The cat-like eyes, pale skin. He was basically describing the Fiend. He actually talks about a noise that he heard that the Fiend made, or the man in the woods in the video. I'm just going to play that clip for you, and then I'll talk a bit more.
I got so close at one point that the sound started to radiate in my ears and hurt. I prayed that he wouldn't see me. And I said, Abigail, please, forgive me. Forgive me for not paying attention to you. And that's when he looked at me. His eyes were yellow like a cat. I continued to run for what felt like an eternity. And finally, the cabin was back in my eyesight. I sprinted through the door, and I was in a panic. And I ran straight to Abby's room, and I said, Abby, I'm so sorry. And she said, baby, Bray, what is wrong? And I said, I saw him. I saw the man in the woods. I thought it was alive, and you were telling the truth all the time. I'm so sorry. She said, baby. What did he say to you? What? He didn't say anything. Matter of fact, all he did, he looked right at me with his eyes, as if he was staring right through me. And he held out his hand at me. And in his hand was my slingshot. And inside, I was wondering, why is she so calm right now? And she said, baby, don't you understand, Bray? It's his slingshot, too. What? You are the man in the woods.
Right, now you've heard a few clips from the video. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you go to YouTube and have a look. Have a listen. Understand what he's saying about the Fiend. He basically describes the Fiend. So not only is the Fiend absolutely amazing on creative's part and Bray Wyatt's part, but it was obviously in the pipeline and in Bray Wyatt's mind, Bray Wyatt's thoughts for a long time. But what you can hear from that video is that Bray Wyatt's heard a noise that has hurt him. It's a loud noise, it hurts. Now, going back to what the Fiend does, he listens to his hands and you can tell he's in almost agony, he's distressed, and you can tell he doesn't like the noises that he's hearing. Now, not saying that it's going to be like a loud noise that is going to be his weakness, but ultimately there's something that's coming from inside his head that I think's going to be a weakness. Now, again, I'm not going to say that you take the gloves off and suddenly he's not listening to anything anymore, but I feel like there's something that's on the backstory, because Bray Wyatt thinks his character's through from absolutely point to point. He goes thoroughly into character. Now, he's led up this character for a long time, the same way he led the Wyatt family up for a long time. Now, I wouldn't even be surprised if there's a link to the Wyatt family, because obviously he's talking about his past a lot and everything like that. Now, there's something he's listening to. Whether Sister Abigail, that's been a rumour for a long time that she's going to somehow turn up. Now, you can hear in the video that she's very calm. Bray's confused at why she is so calm about the situation. But she knows that the man in the woods is actually Bray Wyatt. So whether she has some sort of control over him or something like that. Obviously, we've seen Ramblin' Rabbit say that he knows the weakness. So it will be interesting to see when that comes out, what it will be. I do think it will be something to do with the fact he is distressed with these noises, this big noise that he's heard or from the cabin in the woods, because everything that is happening, it has linked to. And hopefully we just see Sister Abigail in some sort, because we never really saw her in the old gimmick, even though they sort of teased it. And it was more because he got injured, if you remember, with the Finn Balor feud, when the Demon King was meant to fight Bray Wyatt, and then there was all these Sister Abigail's montages on the screen and all these little promos. We weren't sure what was actually going to happen, and I can't remember what event that was going to be. I can't remember if it was going to be a pay-per-view. Pretty sure it was. But anyway, Bray got injured before the event, and they never returned with it. It just sort of died, and that was it. So it'll be interesting to see if anything happens in the future with all of that. Right, guys, if this is the first episode that you're listening from me, the way I'd said I wanted to format my episodes was I'm going to give a little bit of speculation, some predictions, some rumours, and then obviously my own views on the current product, which obviously I've done. But then I'm going to bring a news feature to bring out the current news, any injuries, any, well, obviously rumours, big time rumours, and address them as well. So everyone can be up to date with what's going on in the WWE world and ultimately the wrestling world. So here we go. So here we go with the news. One news that has come out this week that is obviously right on topic with Edge's return is his new WWE contract and how he had some sort of negotiations with AEW. They fell through. Obviously, he's returned. It's actually a 3-year contract, it looks like, which is good. That means he's going to be around for a long time. Not like the MVP sort of return. That was really only going to be the Rumble. It was surprising to see him on Raw. He's not going to show up again. I can't see that happening. But Edge, 3 years, that gives him a nice little run in the company again. He's always going to be up there, whether he's challenging for a title or not. So it's not too important to have him right in the main event picture. Another one, Brock Lesnar versus Matt Riddle. Now, not a feud, not a matchup, but they actually had some sort of altercation after the Royal Rumble. Now, if you're aware, Matt Riddle keeps calling Brock out on social media, and he's been very public that he wants a match with him. He's sort of using his name to sort of create popularity. Well, Brock is not interested. The rumours are Brock said to him something along the lines of, "Kid, stop using my name. The match is never going to happen. We're never going to work together." So that naturally would have created some sort of argument. I don't believe there was any physical altercations. It was probably just a little bit of an argument, a little bit of a niggle. I mean, adrenaline would have been pumping anyway. The reason why we didn't see Sasha Banks at the Rumble was not confirmed at the time, but it turns out she was injured. The doctors didn't clear her. And I heard on the big Raw Rumble review with all the co-hosts that someone was wondering why she didn't turn up. Well, that obviously clears that one up. Hence, I like to do these news reports just because it clears any doubts or thoughts. Sometimes it's just easier to read the facts rather than go off predictions and some rumours. AJ Styles hurt his arm in the Royal Rumble match as well. So that's why we didn't see him on Raw. We saw the OC versus Drew McIntyre. And that's the reason why we didn't see him. Another quite big news, which is quite interesting, is about WrestleMania. Now, it's actually about a disagreement with Paul Heyman and Vince McMahon. Now, I'm sure you're all thinking, again, yeah, what, they're not getting on, shock. But it's because Paul Heyman is heavily campaigning to have Drew McIntyre main event WrestleMania, which, as we all know now, is going to be Brock Lesnar, against Brock Lesnar for the title, which I think is a very good main event. As I've said before, Drew McIntyre fits the part. I like the matchup, and obviously he's from the UK. But Vince McMahon has a preference of Bray Wyatt versus none other than Roman Reigns. Now, we all know who's going to win if that is the case. Vince won't back down. If Vince wants the Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt, he's going to get that match. And I've sort of changed my mind on it. Although I wouldn't necessarily want to see it, because I think Roman Reigns is now getting the crowd behind him. He's now even getting me, which has been a long time hater of Roman Reigns, to actually warm to him. I don't want him to get a massive push so soon that he's again just pushed down my throat again. It's too quick, but I wouldn't necessarily hate it if that was to happen. And we all know the actual in-ring performance would be incredible. And there's another bit of news, which is more of a celebration, really, and a congratulations. Both the Bella twins, both Brie and Nikki, have revealed they are pregnant. Now, they're apparently due about a week apart, or 2 weeks apart, I think I read. So that's congratulations to them. That sounds positive. As we all know, Nikki always wanted children, so she finally got what she wanted. And a big congratulations and good luck to both of them. And a quick one, just to sort of go back to what I said in my first podcast about a Paige return. Now, it's close to home. She's from the UK. Norwich actually isn't too far from me in terms of, as the crow flies, in terms of mileage. Now, I've sort of changed my mind a little bit just because of the Edge return. Now, I didn't think he would return simply because of his injury. They've had a similar injury, if not the same one, due to the neck or the back leading to some sort of paralysis. I know I said before that her mum came out and said that she'd never get back in ring. Edge was obviously denying all his rumours. And there was a few little pictures of him on social media that sort of led to some of the speculation behind it. Now, she put on her Instagram, I can't remember if it was a story or an actual post, but it was of her in-ring gear, a big pile of it. Now, that's obviously leading to speculation again. I don't have too much of it now. I'll tell you what, I'll find out more in the week through some of the online articles, some of the people I follow. I can speak to a few people over here, try and get some more information for you. So leave that one with me and I'll get back to you. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and tuning in. Give me a like, give the WWE podcast a follow. Follow me each week for these podcasts, these news podcasts, a little bit about the current product. Follow me on Twitter at Aid Wrestle. That's AID Wrestle. Give me a tweet, give me a DM, give me a message, let me know what you think, and any content you want me to touch on, anything you want me to talk about, and of course, I'll give you a shout out. See you later. Do you think you know me?